Hi, my name is Matt. I'm an English teacher, and this is a recording of a free lesson that I did recently on whiziq.com. We're using material from the Talk A Lot free spoken English course, which is a free download from englishbanana.com/talkalot. If you'd like to attend the next online lesson, please visit www.whiziq.com/Matt Perland. Okay, just a reminder that in this lesson, just a reminder that you can also book a private lesson with me. That is a one-to-one lesson, so just you and me. It costs $15 US dollars per 45 minutes, and you can choose what you want to study. That could be for an exam like FCE or Cambridge Advanced or TOEFL, IELTS, or just something else, maybe spoken English or something else completely different. So you can choose how many lessons, and there's no minimum number of lessons. So if you're interested, please contact me. That's my email address, info@englishbanana.com, or look for the contact page on the website. Okay, nice to see you all tonight. Let's get started with our lesson. We're going to look at sentence blocks. This is the second part of a lesson that we started last week, looking at tenses or verb forms, we should say. It's probably better. But let's have a quick recap as to what is a sentence block. How do we make it? What can we do with it? So a sentence block is an exercise for students to practice their tenses or verb forms. In Talk A Lot books 1 to 3, we looked at 8 common verb forms. For example, present simple, past simple, present continuous, and present perfect. Okay. Hi, Christina. In the intermediate books, maybe there will be more than one, but in intermediate book 1, we're going to look at 8 more verb forms. Last week we looked at 4 of them, and that was present perfect continuous, past perfect, future perfect, and second conditional. Tonight we're going to look at the other 4 forms, okay, and they are third conditional, reported speech, passive forms, and imperative form. These are all forms which are common at intermediate. If you're studying intermediate level or advanced, you'll know about it. These are quite common at this level. But how do we make a sentence block? How do we make a sentence block? Let's take an example sentence. For example, off the top of my head, this is just, I'm making it up now. I put my bag on the floor. So I put my bag on the floor, and it's a past action, it's past simple. So I put my bag on the floor, you know, maybe a few minutes ago, which is true in fact. And after that, we have a starting sentence, and then we have a question word. So in this example, let's have where, for example. Okay, so I put my bag on the floor. The student has this sentence on the board or on a handout, and they also have the question word, that is in this case where. So they have to make a question with where about the first sentence, about the starting sentence. So Christina's got it. Where did you put your bag? Yeah, where did you put your bag? And the short answer, on the floor. Okay, so we've got three lines of the block here. I put my bag on the floor. Where did you put your bag? On the floor. Next line is a question with inversion. So, starting with usually with auxiliary verb. For example, did you put your bag on the floor? And the short answer, yes, I did. So that gives us five lines of a sentence block. Okay. So let me put it on the screen and make it a bit clearer. So I put my bag on the floor. Where did you put your bag? It's a conversation between two people. On the floor. And then question with inversion. Did you put your bag on the floor? And short answer, we know from the first sentence, we know the answer, yes, I did. Okay, so it's a back and forward dialogue. Maybe it's a bit trivial, the subject matter, but it's still a dialogue. So to finish the sentence block, we need two more lines. This time we need a question with inversion to get a negative answer, no, I didn't. So what could we say then to get a negative answer? Question with inversion, like this one, but to get a negative answer. So we change the where, change the place, so Liz has typed in the box, did you put your bag on the table? And the answer must be no. And short answer, short negative answer, no, I didn't. And then a long negative answer, I didn't put my bag on the table. And then you could go back to the second line, so, using so, where did you put, and it could continue in a circle like that. Okay. So this is just demonstration how to make the sentence block. It's seven lines. Okay. It's a starting sentence. Then what question? Short answer. So where did you put your bag? On the floor. Okay. Then question with inversion. Did you? And these are all good forms for students to practice, aren't they? All good forms. Did you put your bag? And then short answer. Yes, I did. And then question with inversion to get negative answer. Yeah. Question with inversion to get a negative answer. So change the were question. Okay. And then we get negative short negative answer. So we're practicing negative forms. No, I didn't. And then also a long negative answer. So in this exercise, we can practice loads of stuff. Tenses or verb forms with positive, negative question forms. We look at auxiliary verbs and we look at how to form the tenses or verb forms. So it's quite useful. Also, students are working on with a partner in pairs or in a small group, and the only thing they've got on the board is this. Yeah, that's the only thing they've got here. So they haven't got all this text, right? They've only got the first line, that's the starting sentence, plus the question word. So they really have to think about it. They're really thinking how to make the form. It doesn't matter which form, it can be present, past, future, perfect, whatever, continuous, whatever. But they're thinking how to make the form. You know, they might get some guidance from the teacher, but they've only got this little bit on the board or on the handout. So students are talking, they're making eye contact with each other, they're thinking. They're not reading from the board, and they're not reading from a book. So in my experience, it's a good exercise for spoken English and also for grammar. Yeah. But anyway, you came to learn some or to practice some form, some other verb forms. Let's start with third conditional. These are forms that come naturally to English speakers, native speakers, but students have to learn them. That's the problem. So, what can you tell me about third conditional? Let's just start off. Type in the box any information you've got. Third conditional form. What is it? What's it for? Not present plus will, no, it's not. Unreal situation, no. That was second conditional we had last week. Any ideas? Past perfect plus would plus have. Okay. Would have. Okay, would have. So now we're getting some. But what is it for? Why do I need to use it? What time is it? What am I talking about in this, if I use this form? What is the time in this action or this form? Is it past, present or future? So Ami saying past, Christina past. Okay. It's used for the past, okay. And it's used to describe actions that didn't happen in the past. Hypothetical. So, things that we can imagine happening, but they didn't happen. Okay. Good. So the form is, in the first clause is if, plus past perfect. If plus past perfect, and the second clause is would or could or might have plus past participle. So we've got two clauses. It's an if sentence. Yeah, talk about things that didn't happen in the past. It's sometimes it's called the form of regret. You know, I wish I had done something. If I'd done something, maybe now my life would be my life would have been better, for example. Yeah, would have been. Can you think of any examples here, Dan, just quickly? I'm looking back at the past. I like to think about somebody in a bar or with a glass of whiskey or something. Not a student, but you know, an adult. Looking back and thinking, oh, about the past, something happened or didn't happen, you know. If only I could change the past, yeah, for example. It's a bit abstract for now. Let's look at some examples here. First of all, just simply an action that didn't happen in the past. So if I'd arrived a few minutes earlier, I would have caught the bus. So if plus past perfect, and the second clause I would have, would have, it's contraction, and past participle is caught, past of catch, isn't it? You know, I missed the bus, for example. If I'd arrived a few minutes earlier, I would have caught it. I would have got it, but I didn't. There's no chance of this happening, this action. It's in the past. We can't change the past unless you can go back in time, maybe like in Back to the Future. But unless you know how to do that, you can please tell me if you know. Just tell me. I won't tell anyone else. We can't change this action. There's no chance of it happening. We can't change the past. Okay. You know, Christina's saying, if I'd studied English before, I would have had a job, maybe by now. We could use it by now. Yeah. Liz saying, if I'd studied more, I would have passed the exam. Would have. In spoken English, we often use the contraction would have, because would have, it's two unstressed syllables, which we don't need to emphasize them. Would have. Okay, let's go for our example here now. So this is making the sentence block using third conditional. So we're really in deep water now with the talk a lot course. If you'd booked before the 19th of February, you could have taken advantage of one of our promotions. So that's the sentence. How is the question word, the were question. Imagine it's somebody's telling you that, and you're talking back to them. So it's a conversation. What could I say? How? Any ideas? Think about it. Which clause do you need to use? If you'd booked before the 19th of February, you could have taken advantage of one of our promotions. Now you can't, because it's in the past, the moment has gone. Any ideas how? After how should be. But think about it as in yourself, Christina, because somebody's talking to you and you are replying. So how? How could I? Okay, it's a good start. Thanks, Liz. How could I... what? So we're in the second clause. That's good. Think about it. Could have taken advantage of... it follows the logic of the form. You've done the hard bit. Okay, so a few people typing in now. So this is in the first line, the sentence is, you could have taken advantage. How could I have? So inversion. How could I have taken? How could I have taken? How could I have taken one of? How could I have taken advantage of one of your promotions? Okay. Okay. So you could have. You could have taken. How could I have? How could I have? Inversion, with inversion of the subject and auxiliary verb. Yeah, and the rest just follows itself. You could have taken advantage. How could I have taken advantage? Yeah, this stays together, this bit. Okay. Ooh, difficult. Do they? Yeah. Difficult. So let's go. Let's keep going. How could I have taken advantage of one of your promotions? And so, what is the short answer for that? What do you think? So, we've used the information in the second clause. Yeah, Christina, you're right, but put into a sentence form. Think about it in the, yeah, how could I have taken advantage? Okay, think about it. Maybe you could use the word by here, that might help. By. By booking, thanks Ami. By booking what? Before. Okay, and then we're just using the information in the starting sentence, okay. Before the 19th of February, okay. We have to say in English, spoken English, the 19th of. The and of are really important. Not when you write it down, but when you say it, when you say a date. Okay. Good. So that's fine. How could I have taken advantage? By booking before the 19th of February. So what's going to be then the next line? That is question with inversion. Question with inversion. Now remember, it's inversion. It's changing the order, subject and verb, isn't it? So you could have taken advantage. How could I? And then question with inversion. Usually we'll start with special kind of verb. So Ami is saying, could I? Could I have taken advantage? Good. Exactly. So this is the bit that we want the students to learn in this exercise. The rest of it is kind of just to make the context, just filler. But these forms, these question forms, are really important. So you could have, could I have? Could I have? Yes, you could have. Yes, you could have. Okay, good. It's worth practicing because these are, like I'm saying, these are common for native speakers, but kind of avoided by teachers. I know, because I was that teacher. Yeah, we've got two auxiliary verbs in this, could have, which is kind of annoying. The more auxiliary verbs, then the more just we get away from the main stresses of the sentence. Yeah. Good. Could I have taken advantage of one of your promotions if I'd booked before the 19th of February? That's what we want the students to say without any thing written down. That's the aim of it. But maybe if you teach them the form first, and you teach them the question forms and negative forms, the sentence blocks is a time of practice rather than initial teaching. But it's not impossible to get a student to say that, such a long question. Yeah. Okay. It's not impossible. Nothing is impossible. with English language. Okay. Good. I want to move on because we've got three more to do, and looking at just the main points of this, the main points of each form. Okay. Next one we're going to look at is reported speech. Reported speech. What can you tell me about it? Type in the box and tell me something interesting or relevant, or even uninteresting, it's up to you. Reported speech. And two words that can strike fear to the heart of any English teacher. Like, I know about it, but what is it? I know it exists, but why should we ever study it? Why should we use it? Yeah. A lot of the time in English it's putting labels on things and putting them into boxes and groups and just saying, okay, this is an example of this, this is third conditional, this is reported speech, and looking at the rules for each little group of things. Okay. So Christina's saying, I booked my ticket, it's not reported speech, it's just past simple. No. Any ideas? What is the point of it? The clue is in the word report, or the verb to report. Think about who reports. Reporter. Reporter, for example, in a newspaper. Christina's saying, my husband told me that. Okay. Then now we're getting closer. So the aim is to report what somebody else said in either written or spoken English. Okay, report, to tell what somebody else said. Yeah. So what time is it in this form? What time is it? Past, present or future? What do you think? Past, says Christina. Past, says Liz. So it's in the past, it has to be, must be. For example, let's look at this form. Let's look at one example. It's 1 o'clock and John is speaking now. I have ordered the new furniture for the office. That's present perfect form. So John is speaking at 1 o'clock. I have ordered the new furniture for the office. Okay. But later in the day at 6 o'clock, Bob, that is maybe a colleague or a friend, whatever, Bob says this. John said that he'd ordered. So the form changes to past perfect. So John spoke in present perfect, and when Bob reports it, when he tells it, he reports in past perfect form. So this is kind of the nub of it, reporting what somebody said, what somebody else said. And the way I like to remember this is with kind of mnemonic, declining verb forms, declining, not getting worse, no, but kind of changing, going down in the pattern. So for example, if John says, using present simple, the cake is ready, the person reporting it can say in past simple, he said the cake was ready. If John says present continuous, we're eating the cake. That's now. The person reporting can say in past continuous, he said they were eating the cake. Yeah. Present perfect goes down to past perfect. Present perfect continuous goes down to past perfect continuous. And it goes through all the forms like this. For example, past forms, past simple. John says this, the cake was delicious. And the reported speech, he said the cake was delicious. Yeah. He said the cake was delicious. Alright. I'm sorry, that's a mistake. He said the cake had been delicious. So from past simple down to past perfect. Okay. Works with all the forms, for example, modal verbs. If somebody says, I'll make another cake soon, we can report, she said she would make another cake soon. So will changes to would, can changes to could, and so on and so forth. Good. Are you still there? Is anybody there still? Good. Also called indirect speech. Questions become factual statements. For example, can I eat the cake now? He asked whether he could eat the cake then. Yeah. So, reported speech is really good for practicing verb forms, if that's what you want to do. Yeah. The plant needs watering, says Christina. She said the plant needed watering. So present simple goes down to past simple. Good. Great, isn't it? Great fun. In English language. It's great. Okay. So, let's look at this one. This is the sentence block from the Unit 1 Hotel of Intermediate Book 1, Talk a Lot. My parents said they'd received the VIP treatment at Hotel Degas the last time they stayed there. So, said they had, said they'd received. So, for example, they probably said, we have received the VIP treatment. But they said they'd received the VIP treatment in reported speech. Good. First of all, we need to check that you understand everything in the sentence block. What does it mean, for example, to receive the VIP treatment? The VIP treatment. This might be unfamiliar to some students in the class. So we check this. So J. Louis is saying very special treatment. Special treatment. VIP is acronym, short for very important person. Yeah, VIP. And so if you go to a hotel and the staff are very friendly, very helpful, and you feel like, you know, you feel like $1 million, you feel very special, you could say you got the VIP treatment. So the question word is what kind. So make a question with what kind here. Think about the form, Liz. Think about the, what is it, present, past? Do they received? We can't say that. No. It doesn't make sense because it's a mix of tenses. what kind of treatment did but who? So use the full information. What kind of treatment did, think about it, it's another person you're talking to. So your parents, let's break it down a bit. So what kind of treatment, that's right, did, because the operative verb is said in this, isn't it? My parents said, that's subject and verb, said is past simple. So what kind of treatment did your parents say? Yeah? And then you just add on the rest of the text from the sentence. What kind of treatment did your parents say they'd received at Hotel Descartes? Yeah. So we're using all the information in the text, in the first line, to make the questions and answers. Okay, so what kind of treatment did your parents say they'd received at Hotel Descartes? And short answer, the VIP treatment. So the verb is say, like Am is saying here. So it's past simple, isn't it? My parents said. And the rest of it, it goes together. I think you'll get a medal if you finish this lesson. If anybody completes the lesson today, they should get a special certificate, I think, a special kind of medal. Good. Okay, so what kind of treatment? And then the VIP treatment. Good. So, what is then question with inversion? The question with inversion, what's it going to be? We've already said the main verb is said, or say. So it should be straightforward. It should be straightforward because it's just past simple then. Did say? No, it's not right. After did must be the subject. That's a clue. Am is saying, did your parents say? Okay. Did your parents say that? That we can put kind of in parentheses or brackets. We can use it or not use it. Yeah. Did your parents say, oh gosh, I've made the mistake here. Yeah. Did your parents say that they'd received the VIP treatment? And the short answer, yes. Yes, they did. They're just past simple question forms. Okay. But if you're doing this with your students, sentence blocks with reported speech, it gives you the chance to study reported speech, to look at it, and to get your students to learn it, like, oh yeah, will changes to would, shall changes to should, can changes to could, may changes to might. You know, yesterday changes to the previous day, the day before. Today changes to that day. I'm not saying get them to chant it like that, but it opens up an area, and they'll also be finding this these forms in their other work, in their other studies, course books and so on. Okay. Let's go quickly then, quickly on, because we've only got 11 minutes left, right? I'm looking at the clock. Next one is passive forms. Oh gosh. 11 minutes to study passive forms, passive voice. And imperative form. So it's not going to be enough time, but let's have a try. Passive form is when we have be plus past participle. Okay, be plus past participle. For example, in this sentence, the parcel will be delivered here on Wednesday. So be delivered. It's future simple passive, will be delivered. It's not important who delivers it. So we're not saying John Bloggs will deliver the parcel. We don't know who's going to deliver it. It's not important. The person delivering it, the doer of the action, if I can say that. Okay. All English sentences are either active or passive. So active is subject plus verb, like I ate a big cake. Yeah. I ate a big cake. So that's active because we know who did it, and it's subject, verb, object. But a big cake was eaten. You know, that's somebody ate it, but who? We're not pointing the finger at anybody. So we use the passive when the form is when the subject, the actor, if you like, the doer, is either not known or not important. And we've got an example here of a sentence block. Yeah. Around midnight, a couple of lagerlouts were turfed out by Big John, one of the bouncers, for causing trouble. Okay. So they were turfed out, that means they were thrown out of a nightclub or bar, maybe. Big John, that's nickname, isn't it? Nickname. Bouncer, it's like the doorman, door person, door supervisor, should say, politically correct. So students could look at this and think about it with who, that's the question word. And we haven't time really to look at that now. Christina is saying the cake was eaten by me. Oh, so now we know. But you might as well say active sentence. Yeah. I ate the cake. No, she ate the cake. Oh, I'm getting mixed up. So I think tonight was an impossible task. Was it Sisyphus, I think, who was trying to roll a stone up a hill until the end of time? And this is kind of like that. So it's a bit of an impossible task to look at these four forms. But anyway, we tried. So around midnight, a couple of lagerlouts were turfed out. Who was turfed out? By Big John, one of the bouncers, for causing trouble around midnight. Oh, short answer. A couple of lagerlouts. So the students are just trying to get just trying to get the relevant information from the starting sentence. Okay, I want to go really quickly and finish and go also look at the last form, which is called imperative. Imperative form. But one of the most common forms we have in English, of course. Really useful, especially if you're shouting at somebody. Yeah, telling them what to do, orders or instructions. Do this, do that, do the other. So, imperative form. Can you give me any examples? Christina saying go out. Maybe get out is better. Leave alone. Leave who? Leave me alone. It's used with the exclamation mark, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I've typed one. But exclamation mark. Exclamation. Yeah, get out. Go away. But it's not just that, just for arguments. It's maybe for instructions. Bring those chairs over here, please. You hear this a lot at school, imperative form. It's please do something. It's good if you can add please. So please bring. Yeah? Or bring those chairs over here, please. Okay, Amy, don't worry, we've got you back. Could you? Would you? It makes it more polite. So, could you bring those chairs? Would you? Would you mind? Would you mind bringing? Really useful. So English people take offense when you're just using imperative form. When I moved to Poland, I had a problem because I noticed they didn't have this form. They didn't have the polite phrases that we have. And I had to even tell or ask people, please could you use the modal forms like could you, would you, would you mind, is it possible for you to bring the chairs over here, is it possible? Of course we want to say just do it, just do it, just bring them, yeah, just do it. But English people really have a problem. We hear that and we feel like somebody's giving us orders and we don't like it. Maybe in your language it's fine to do that. It's acceptable. It's not only for orders though. Think about maybe if you're cooking something, recipe, that's in the imperative form. Do something. Cook, pour, beat, put, it's in imperative form, it's instructions, or if you're trying to put together a cabinet, yeah. So, remember for an English person to make it more polite, please, please would you, just before the infinitive, or as a question tag, pass me that book, would you? Could you? Would you? If you forget to say the polite form, you could add a question tag. And so, we're nearly there at the end now, but the sentence in the question, in the sentence blocks is, bring that enormous plate of sandwiches here now. So bring now. Okay. Is barking orders. And so the question then with when Oh, Ami saying, I wonder if you could. Yeah, I wonder. Well, I was wondering whether you could. Yeah. It's beautiful, like poetry to my ears, because it's so nice to hear that polite language, not just do this, do that. Okay. So, bring that enormous plate of sandwiches here now. When? When should I? So we need should in this sentence. When should I bring that enormous plate of sandwiches here? Short answer, now. Should I? But your students should hopefully have had an introduction to this form, and this is then practice for them. So we're not teaching the form by the sentence blocks, but really they've got the chance to practice what they have learned about the forms. Okay. And this is like another step, it's a big leap forward from the first three books where we had present simple, past simple, future with will, going to. This is massive jump forward, but this is for intermediate students, and maybe upper as well can try it. Yeah. And it's up to you. You can practice any forms with the sentence block method. You can practice any whatever you want. It's no problem. Just make a sentence or find a sentence, give them a question word, and they can do it. Very flexible.
Thanks for joining us today. To download more free lessons and all of the Talkalot materials absolutely free of charge, please visit englishbanana.com/talkalot.